It's really interesting that the chapter and verses of the Bible are not always in the right place. You know, those were just simply put there. So it was put there years later. I forgot right now. I think it was 600 AD or something like that, or even later on. They were put there so that we would be able to find places. You know, can you imagine if you were had the book of Isaiah and somebody said, comfort ye, comfort my people, and they didn't give you a scripture reference, you'd be like, oh, where is that? And you would have to go through the whole thing. So this way we have addresses to know where these verses are. We would know that it's chapter 40 of Isaiah, so it's easy to find. But the danger in that is that we read our Bibles that way. When we open our Bibles, we read chapter 1, and then it's over. We'll read chapter 2 tomorrow, and then we'll read chapter 2, then chapter 3. And the danger is that when we look at chapter 6 of Ephesians, we sort of think that it's, okay, new thought. But it isn't a new thought. The thought is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And the fruit of being filled with the Spirit is these submitting to one another, these wives submit to your own husbands, these children obey your parents, fathers do not provoke your children to wrath, and bondservants be obedient to those who are your masters. So the Spirit, the person that is filled with the Spirit would be a person that would be transformed in their relationships with other people. There will be a submission that goes with it. So we need to realize what the context is. It is about the Spirit-filled life. And I find it so interesting that we've sort of made the Spirit-filled life into this just giftedness. We've made it into if we hear someone prophesying, if someone speaking in tongues, if somebody has a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, ooh, that is the Spirit-filled life. Where in reality, the gifts of the Spirit are there as a bonus. And the Spirit of God was given not to blow the horn of the train, but rather to push the engine of the train. So when we look at the steam in a train, I mean, if you think that the fire is burning just so you can go, poo, poo, which a child I'm sure would like, in a sense we're being childish because that steam and that fire is there to move that engine in the right direction. And the Spirit-filled person is a person who primarily will have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. He will be in right relationships with one another. And Gesundheit. But there will be love that saturates that person. There will not be that edginess. There will not be that self-seeking. There will not be all that stuff that goes with the works of the flesh, but rather filled with the Spirit would be the attitude of submission that will go along with that. Now, in a sense, here the Apostle Paul is dealing with this whole thing of, he is dealing with the children and parents relationship. And in a sense, we live in a world, I believe, that it's never been more dark than it is today. And I think part of the fruit of what would manifest to us that is probably one of the darkest ages we've ever lived in the history of the world, has to do with the family life, has to do with the way that children deal with their parents. That's why you're here today. Masha, well, you know, actually that brings a good point. We're going to deal with children obey your parents in the Lord. And some of you guys might think to yourself, well, I'm older. I don't need to hear this. And what does that have to do with me, sort of a thing. I wish this is really for kids. I would venture to say, first of all, that this is for anyone that is not married. You live the authority of father and mother when you marry. I would venture to say that this is obviously in the honoring sense for those that are married as well towards their parents. And I would say also that in a world that we live in where family life has come to complete decay, that we as Christians should be the wisest when it comes to this, that we might be able to instruct others in this. So in reality, we need to pay attention because we are supposed to be the most excellent people in the world, and we need to be able to instruct in our society what the family life needs to look like. And in Romans, if you turn with me to Romans 8, you're going to see that the darkest ages of history have been distinguished, characterized not only by sexual immorality and all these things that we sometimes think of as sinful, but actually there's always these little things that come up that you just think to yourself, what in the world is that doing there? But in verse 28 it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, Romans 1:28. Did I not say Romans? I'm sorry. Oh no, 1:28. I'm so sorry. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil. This is horrible stuff, isn't it? Now look at the next one. Disobedient to parents. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote before he departed earth. And in chapter 3, it is also a description not so much of the world, like in chapter 1 of Romans, but is a description of the actual church. In the last days, this great apostasy, and it says, but know this, that in the last days, ugly, evil, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Having a form of godliness but denying its power actually means that they seem very spiritual with their talk, but they deny the power of God to change a life. They're big talkers about God, but very bad practices of what the Word of God says. And we see that a distinctive of ungodliness is actually disobedience to parents. Now, look at the world we're living in. You read the news. Kids are killing their parents. Kids are taking their parents to court because they disagree with their parents. Kids are talking to their parents in a way that 50 years ago, they wouldn't have dared to talk to a boy or a girl their age, much less to their parents. There was a certain respect to the parent. And that has been lost. People are sort of talking, this is my right, this is what I want to do with my life, and who are you, mom, and who are you, dad, to tell me me what to do. No doubt in some ways, the kids are justified. In some ways. The Victorian age had the Victorian father. And he was, the philosophy was, children are to be seen but not heard. And there was a thing where beatings were very usual. I mean, there was a cruelty about it. And in some ways, people have reacted. In the 1800s, early 1900s, there was this Victorian father. But all of a sudden, people react and they think to themselves, oh no, we can't discipline the kids. We can't do stuff like that. I suffered a lot under my dad. So therefore, I'm just going to be my kid's best friend. And in some ways, the parent has lost the ability to parent. So therefore, the kid reacts. Because there's no longer any authority, there's no longer any sort of clear definition of how to live. So in some ways there's a reaction, but we have to be really careful as Christians that we do not react. See, one of the problems I believe in people reading the Bible is they react. And I notice it all the time. Some people, as kids, they were raised in a Brethren church. Maybe Plymouth Brethren. And they were very closed. And the women were not allowed to speak. And all of a sudden, they go to a church where the woman gets to speak. So it goes to the other extreme. And next thing you know, in one way, you go to the other extreme and you ignore the Bible. Another one, the woman could do everything. And all of a sudden, it goes all the way to the other side. The gifts of the Spirit. Some people went to a church that nobody believed in the gifts of the Spirit. And in your heart, you realize that cannot be true. So people react and go into this charismania stuff that goes around. That everyone seems to be jumping around and doing somersaults in church. And then on the other hand, people that are raised in these churches, they go back to the other end. And they go to the sort of stiff church that nobody breathes. And we live in a world that Christianity is being defined by people's reactions rather than by the Word of God. And we are not, our Christianity is never to be defined by reactions, it's to be defined by the Word of God. That's why it is so important that we read our Bibles taking our glasses off. And Christian boys and girls need to realize that if you want to be a light in this world, the way to be a light in this world, the greatest opportunity that you have is not just what you say you believe, but how you live. And honoring your father and mother in this age is one of the brightest lights that will shine in this world. So if you say, man, I'm a young boy, I'm a young girl, and I really love Jesus, and I want to get to know Jesus, and I want to walk with Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what, the way you can do it is by respecting and honoring your father and your mother, whether they deserve it or not. And we're going to talk about whether they deserve it or not in a minute. But it is a great opportunity. And the devil can actually come in and sort of lie to us. And deceive us in an incredible way. Like the Pharisees. The Pharisees were deceived. The Pharisees looked at Jesus and said, why do your disciples not wash their hands? Why don't they listen to the commandments of the elders? They don't wash their hands. And Jesus, you know, I would love to be Jesus. I'd love to have, you know, it's just like, I just look at Jesus' wisdom and I think, oh, Lord, please make me more like Jesus. You know, you can turn things around. I'll give you an example of being a little bit like Jesus. You know, I met with my neighbors for 2 years. I've been reading the Bible with them weekly, week in and week out, week in and week out. And finally, we'll go to the prison twice a week. And I told them, look, the prisoners can't come to church, but you can. I said, you need to come to church. And yesterday, he heard me speak in German, and he says, Raf, you speak German? Is there anything you can't do? And I said, yes, get you to church. You know, and I'm like, that's a good one, Lord. Just like, you know what I mean? You just think to yourself, I like it when I think so quickly. Well, Jesus, he was always on par. He always thought quickly. And I'm not always like that, you know? And he says, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? And the Pharisees must have been like, what are you talking about? What are you thinking? It says, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Unbelievable. I mean, these Pharisees were saying, oh, well, you know what? I'm serving God and you know, I don't need, because I'm serving God, whatever I'm giving to God sort of thing, it goes to the credit of the parents. So the responsibility of me honoring my father and mother are not really for me, because now I'm serving God. It's really for other people. And Jesus says, you know what? You've nullified the commandment of God by your tradition. And we can be trapped by the devil into thinking that because we have become Christians, that all of a sudden we know better. And we sort of just cloak it under spirituality. And in the midst of it, we're disrespecting our parents, whether believers or unbelievers. And we've been trapped by the devil himself. And we are the stumbling block in our family's life for them to come to know the Lord. Young people are doing a great harm to the Christian cause today through being diluted by Satan at this very point. They are being rude to their parents. And what is worse is that they are rude to their parents in terms of their Christian ideas and Christian service. And you know what? We always tell the Bible college students here. Always tell the Bible college students here. At least I do. When you leave Bible school, if you're not better at home towards your parents, then you haven't really learned much. And notice what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Notice it says, obey. The exhortation begins. Notice that the thread, wives to the husbands, children to the parents, and then further, everything has to do with submission and obedience. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord, it says. Wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. And children are to obey their parents. The word obey means not only to listen to them, but realizing that you are under their authority. And the word honor is there because it will be very easy to obey outwardly, but rebel in the heart. The difference between obedience and submission is submission is an attitude of the heart. Obedience is an action. And you know what it's like. Raf, can you take out the trash? Yes, dear. That sort of a thing. You know, the rebellion of the heart. And we can be really, really obedient, and in our heart, we can be really, really rebellious. And Jesus said this. Jesus said, somewhere around here he said it. It's not in here. I thought I put it here. It says, you come near to me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Jesus said, if you do not forgive your brother from the heart, in the reality that the heart has to be in it. It's not just grudging obedience, but it is obedience from the heart. And kids nowadays, they're disrespectful, assert themselves and their own rights, and their modernism. Their modernism means this: my mom and my dad, they don't understand, they're just old. Are you laughing over there so much, huh? My mom and my dad, they don't understand, they're just old. I've heard people say, because they can't, they're 15, 16, they want to sleep with one another, and they'll say, my mom and dad, they're just old-fashioned. That is not old-fashioned. It's just biblical. And we need to be careful that just because we're modern and we sort of think that we're in different times, that we, through our philosophy, do not nullify the Word of God. Aggressiveness, looking disrespectfully at them, speaking disrespectfully at them, mock, express contempt by action and speech, jeer. You know, sometimes it's not even yelling. It's just kind of like, what do you know? I mean, I didn't dare to do that to my family. I mean, I guess to my mom, a couple of times I had a couple of goes at her. But, you know, I had a brutal family. My dad threw shoes through windows. And even in the worst of times, even when he mocked me for being a Christian, I just couldn't bring myself to. And I've had some strong words with my mom sometimes. But there's still that sort of fear, you know. And you got to know my mom. My grandmother, and some of you guys have heard this lately. My grandmother, somebody was talking about my mom in town one day, because she was the first woman to work in a club on the island. And nothing to be proud of, but still, she was. And somebody was talking about my mom, and my grandmother went with a toilet brush and brushed the woman's mouth in the town square. And when the police came and said, we're going to fine you for that, she said, it's okay, I'll pay double. And she did it again. I mean, you don't... My grandmother, she had a tattoo. She got a tattoo at one point. I mean, you got to think, she would be 90 now. She rubbed it off. I mean, we're talking about a tough granny. You don't mess with her. So there was some respect there. You know, you're like, woo! You know, at one point, I got involved with some stuff and ended up at a young age very drunk through people giving me sangria and the different fires of San Antonio. And my grandmother grabbed me, pulled me all the way home, gave me warm salt water to drink, and I vomited through the night. I mean, she was just a tough cookie. And you just didn't mess. There was a certain respect there. There was a reverence there that needs to be there. Obey and honor. Children, obey your parents and the Lord. I know a lot of you kids are thinking, man, he planned this. He said, there's a lot of rebellion in church with the kids, and we're going to get them all in there. We've been teaching verse by verse. It just happens that today we are going through the next verse, as opposed to the one from last week or 2 weeks ago. Now the question is, why honor your father and mother? And there are three reasons right here in the text. Number one, obey your parents in the Lord and honor your father and mother. Why? Because it is right. Notice that. It says it right there. It is right. What does that mean, it is right? You know, a lot of people become Christians and all of a sudden they think they're spirit-filled. And because they're spirit-filled, they sort of think that they're above the law. And they just think to themselves, I don't really need to obey this aspect of life or that aspect. And righteousness is no longer part of life. At the end of the day, I need to follow the Spirit of God. You know what? The Spirit of God will lead you in paths of righteousness. To do not what is best for you, but rather what is right. And a lot of people do a lot of damages in their house, a lot of damage, because they sort of throw out the righteousness of it. You know, it is right to honor your father and mother, whether you like it or not. And listen, even with my dad, My dad left my house when I was 5 for another woman. At one point I asked him, you're going to have to choose, Daddy. Well, actually, I took my best friend with me to Hamburg because he lived there for many years. And they ended up drunk together, my friend vomiting all night. At one point, we went to a family gathering and he ruined the whole gathering through his drink. I took him aside. I said, Dad, you're going to have to choose between me and alcohol. In a very kind and loving way. And he looked at me and he said, Alaska? Actually, he looked at the dog and said, Alaska, come here. And he says, your sister will stick by me. The dog. And yet, I needed to love my dad. And I needed to be kind to my dad. And you know what? I had the privilege of leading my dad to the Lord 3 days before he died. Wanted or not, my mom and my dad brought me into this world and they cared for me and they nourished me. Even in their failures, I'm to be thankful to them that they brought me into this world. And you know what? Even in creation, the babes learn from their parents. You take the eagle will have the thing, the nest will protect them, will nourish them, and eventually will teach them to fly. You look at a horse being born, and that thing's just kind of going like this, and they're being taught by the big horse. Have you ever seen it? They just go behind, come on, come on, come on, you can do it. And even creation learns from its parents. And I'll tell you what, there's always something you can learn from your parents, no matter how bad they've been. And there's always something we can obey. But there's the, you know, even the wild animals, the babes obey their parents because it is right. For an offspring to refuse to listen and to obey is something ridiculous and foolish. But just because it is right, just because it is part of creation, doesn't mean that that is the only reason why you need to obey your father and your mother. You need to obey your father and your mother, and this goes for all of us, I mean, obviously. Unless you're married and all of a sudden you leave the obey part because you obey, now you're a family yourself. But you also obey your father and mother because it's simply the law of God. The Ten Commandments. Notice it's right there. It says, it is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. It's funny because Jesus said, a man shall leave his father and mother, he quotes from Genesis chapter 2, and shall be united to his wife. And that leave definitely means leaving that authority, which means that even in creation, that authority was there. People understood that children obey their parents. But in the Ten Commandments, it's like Moses comes down, and it's like God just underlined it. This is good. This is what you need to do. It was always right to obey your father and mother. It's not like all of a sudden God invents it. He brings it in and underlines the fact that the law of God says that it is you are to obey your father and your mother. And it's got a promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, does this mean that if you obey your father and mother, you're going to live to be 100? It doesn't mean that. It means that if you obey your father and mother, you will be will have a full life under the benediction of God. You will be blessed by God as you obey your father and mother. And if you're wondering, what do you mean that is the first commandment with promise? Because it is the fifth commandment. And then after the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth, and tenth, there is no promise. So what does it mean is the first? It is the first commandment in rank. It is of first importance, and in a sense, it's the first one that you can obey when you become, when you're a kid. The first thing that you can do for God, as you're, you know, you can't go and serve this thing. You're as a kid, you're not thinking about adultery. You're not thinking about all this stuff. The best thing that you can do to please God and to be blessed by God is to obey your father and mother. It's the first. But obviously, those are, one is the reason of creation. The other one is the reason of the law of God. But what is the best reason always? Why should we obey our father and our mother? Another reason is grace. Notice, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It could also be translated like this. Children, obey in the Lord your parents. It does not mean obey your Christian parents. That's what it does not mean. But in the same way that husbands love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, as unto Christ. In that same way, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. In the same way, the supreme reason for wanting to obey our father and mother and honor our father and mother, that means respect them and have tender hearts towards them, even if it hurts. The reason is because it pleases the Lord who has saved us. We are to obey, honor, and respect our parents because it is part of our worship and obedience to our Lord Jesus. Notice, is unto the Lord because He loved us. He came down to redeem us, to wash away our sins, to give us a new nature, to make us new men and new women. And in a sense, the way that we prove how we believe that thing is because our response of love to His great love and grace to us, our response to His great love for us is going to be reflected in how we listen to Him when Jesus says to us, look, I want you to simply honor your father and your mother. Be different. You know, a lot of kids like to be different, don't they?